every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for that marvelous Recovery 101 jingle.
Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAARRMMCR.
F and A.
Yeah. Al-Anon, Narcanon.
Who do we speak for?
Grand Theft Auto, okay. GTA. Sweet.
Okay. We should pick somebody every week to speak for.
President Obama.
That's dangerous.
All right. We won't speak for him either.
Besides, he ends with an A. We don't speak for anybody that ends with an A.
He does. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And Mark, the solution.
The solution. I'm Shock.
I'm Odd.
And I'm annoyed.
Shock, Odd, and annoyed.
That's shocking.
Shock and awe with annoyance. It's beautiful.
Shock and awe was annoying
wow.
to certain people.
So, Bruce, what would you do if you really needed a meeting? Would you be listening to this?
Oh, you think I wouldn't? Even if I needed a meeting, I would be on my way to the meeting with this playing on my iPod.
Wow.
Why not?
Well, I suppose you could do that if you really wanted to.
I'm still saying I would go to a meeting. I'm still saying I was going to a meeting.
As long as you turn it off when you go to a meeting.
As long as you've got, you know, headphones.
Okay.
You could sit in a meeting and listen to us at the same time.
Well, all right then.
Kill two birds with one stone. Because, you know, the meeting doesn't have any more recovery than we do.
Clearly.
Brother. Wow. Insert eye roll.
My goodness, it's time for a commercial break. Do you know someone who has a problem with drugs or alcohol? You know you want to intervene. But what can you do? Your loved one, friend, or colleague is spiraling out of control. You can help by calling Diversified Intervention Group. You do not have to deal with this problem alone. Call the intervention specialist at 909-559-9568. Diversified Intervention Group specializes in drug and alcohol intervention. We can help break the cycle of addiction. There is hope for recovery. The Diversified Intervention Group is your solution. Call 909-559-9568. Call now before it's too late. We provide services throughout North America. The Diversified Intervention Group. One phone call can make the difference.
Diversified Intervention Group is not a medical provider, nor do we provide medical services. If you feel that you are suffering a life-threatening situation, then immediately call 911 or contact your health care provider. Our drug and alcohol intervention service does not intend to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease.
Welcome back.
Oh, no, don't start that.
Your dreams were your ticket out.
Aw, crap.
Welcome back.
To that same old place that you laughed about. Though the names have all changed.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Just knock it off. Man, I'm tired of that.
You know there's people that love that.
Oh,
there's people that tune in just to hear that.
No, they don't. They really don't. But they do, however, tune in to listen to...
The boozy news and the news not fit for booze. I'm shocked.
I'm odd.
I'm annoyed. Okay, an Australian woman was terrified when she heard her shower running in the middle of the night. Apparently, a gentleman had entered the home believing it to be his home.
Was he Robert Downey Jr.?
No, but he was incredibly drunk, decided to go and take a shower. When he realized it wasn't his home, he got out, dried off, got dressed, and sat down on the front stoop to wait for the police. Because he figured somebody's going to call the police, and they did. The police showed up. He was still hammered. He was actually 300 kilometers away from his house.
Oops.
That's a hike.
That's a wrong turn.
That's a big wrong turn. That's like the wrong turn of Bugs Bunny digging to go south, and he ended up in Hawaii.
Yeah. What's up, Doc?
He was taken away by the police to sleep it off.
And he was clean.
Yes, at least he was all nice and showered when he went to jail.
Yeah.
He wasn't actually charged with anything, though. They just let him sleep it off, and then he went home.
Lucky thing she heard the shower, because as soon as he got out of the shower, he had dried off and come
got
to bed.
Got into bed.
Yeah.
He would have been like, hello, baby.
That would be scary.
Yeah. What are you doing in my bed?
Come to the land of wonder, the land down under.
Yikes. Seattle police have arrested... This is the one you guys, I think, are going to love this one.
We're ready.
It's a short little blurb, but it's humorous. Seattle police have arrested a man who was trying to have sex with his car while high on PCP.
Sweet.
He kept repeatedly saying, be my Axel Foley.
Wow. Be my Axel Foley. So he thought he was having sex with Eddie Murphy.
I guess so.
I'm in love with my car.
Got a feel for my automobile.
Now, they specifically said in the story, it said, no, I don't know, and don't ask. Use your imagination. And I'm assuming, because they were not specific in the story, on what part of his car he was trying to have sex with.
I'm assuming the tailpipe.
The cigarette lighter would be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be sad. Oh, that'd be sad.
That would be sad. It'd be like a vibrator. The problem is you wouldn't be able to get it in, we hope. Maybe that's
if
why
you could
to,
get it in, that'd be the issue.
Maybe that's why he's having sex with his car.
Well, he was high on PCP, so.
Wow. That's
perfect.
I'm shocked.
Sorry, I had a little coughing fit there.
I'm not even odd.
Be my Axel Foley.
Yeah, and
that's
going to
be my new
Beverly
line from
Hills
now on.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, it's
be my Axel
blast
Foley.
From the past. That's going to be my new line from now on, Bruce. Be my Axel Foley.
So when we're in bed, I'm going to expect be my Axel Foley? So you want to sleep with the black comedian is what you're telling me?
No, I just thought that was a humorous line.
Okay. All righty then.
Okay, in Los Angeles, California, CVS Pharmacy has agreed to pay a $75 million fine for allowing repeated purchases of over-the-counter medications containing pseudoephedrine. The problem got so out of hand that the authorities believe it to be the cause of a recent spike in methamphetamine use.
Sweet.
Apparently, people were just going in.
But they couldn't. But they couldn't cover the $1.99 for the asthma medication.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, from the last show.
Yeah, no, apparently they couldn't. Apparently, they send in people called Smurfers to buy them. That's what they call them.
Smurfers.
To buy them the medications, Smurf. The cold medications.
Little
yeah.
blue people?
You know where that comes from?
No.
I don't know where it originally comes from, but that's a thing in gaming, online gaming. There is there are certain games where you're supposed to be of certain levels to be able to play the game. Like, so if it's a new guy's playing, it's only supposed to be new guys. But then there'll be these guys that are really, really like expert players, and they want their character or whatever to get better. So what they do is they go and create a new account, but they're really like an expert player, and they go and play in these newcomer games. They call them Smurfs because they go in as if they don't know how to play, and then they just rip everyone a new one in the game, and it makes their characters get better faster. So there you go.
You spend too much time involved in gaming.
Yeah, I did. Oh, boy, I did.
Well, so anyway, they send the Smurfers in.
I never smurfed much.
And they buy, the Smurfers go in and buy, like, a package from every CVS pharmacy or whatever, and they're supposed to be tracking who's buying how much where, and they're not.
Apparently, no.
Yeah.
So how much meth are the Smurfers cooking these days?
Well, it didn't say in the story, but
yeah,
apparently a lot,
didn't.
Because it caused a noticeable spike in methamphetamine use, so...
No, I'm wondering how much the Smurfers were making, because apparently they're buying a bunch, too.
I don't know.
There's good money in smurfing and making meth.
I suppose so.
You get paid by the government to smurf, then you go back to your house and cook like some meth.
Oh, brother.
All righty, then.
In Washington Park, Illinois, Pepper Arnold dropped off a 9-month-old baby at the police station after she said the mother she'd been babysitting for had left the child with her for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Police discovered Arnold had a warrant out for fraud charges.
Now, wait, who's Arnold? Is that the one that
off the baby? Yeah.
Pepper
Arnold.
We'll call her Pepper.
Pepper.
So they arrested her. Then the mother, Rashonda Stewart, was finally reached, but took 7 hours to show up at the police station. While they were waiting for her, the cops called the grandmother looking for help and discovered that the grandmother had two warrants out for her arrest.
Grandma.
So the child is now in protective custody.
Wow. So everyone's being arrested
basically
for warrants. Awesome. I hear pretzels.
Mark's cracking open the pretzels.
You know, there was a guy one time that sent us a thing that said it was clear to him when we were eating on the air. He's like, you really shouldn't do that. Because there used to be times, where Shelly would bring out, well, she's done it lately, too. She'd bring out platters of cookies and stuff. We'll be like,
Well, we celebrated her birthday on the air.
Yeah,
with cupcakes.
We had cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
We've frequently done peanuts.
We did cupcakes once. I know this isn't part of the boozy news. We did cupcakes once for my daughter where they could put anything they wanted on the cupcake. You have never seen cupcakes like these. Remember that?
Yeah, I think so.
They could put, there was like a gummy bears and crap you could put on it. And these cupcakes were just the most decadent, really gross
disgusting
looking things
yeah
you'd ever seen.
Yeah, they had gummy worms and M&Ms and all kinds of crap all over them.
Yeah, like an inch and a half of frosting on the top. Just, it was.
And wasn't the frosting bright blue?
Oh, it was blue and green because they could color their own
yeah
frosting too. We had, it was, they were the most disgusting looking things, but the kids.
How were they?
I didn't eat it.
I didn't think they were that, it was too much. But you know what? The kids dug it. They thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Make it any way you want. You know how many of those kids were probably sick at home that night?
All of them?
All of them. Sorry, parents.
Speaking of disgusting things, last night at the meeting, that's another thing I don't get. All the kids love these Sour Punch straws, that candy.
No, the Sour Punch. They look like almost like licorice pieces, but they're like super sour.
Yeah. And I ate one, and it was one of the top 10 most disgusting things I've ever put in my mouth.
I kind of like them.
Ugh, gross.
What other disgusting things have you put in your mouth?
Well, we don't need to go into that because we're doing the boozy news.
She goes, I did my inventory with my sponsor. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Former NBA All-Star Steve Francis has been arrested for public drunkenness by the L.A. Airport Police.
Stevie Franchise.
Yes, he was drunk, unable to care for himself, and combative toward airport staff.
Unable to care for himself.
In other words, he was falling down
that
drunk.
That means you're drunk. Crunk. He's crunk.
Crunk?
I think that's something else, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I can't even remember what it is. It's a youngin's term.
We'd have to ask one of the kids.
Someone can write in and tell us what it is. Crunk.
Police have arrested two members of the Washington State University football team after finding 38 marijuana plants in the home they shared with two other people. Is that a lot?
38 plants?
Yeah.
Yeah. For personal consumption.
Might explain the football team's record this year.
Is it bad?
They're bad.
Nice. There you go, you Washingtonians.
Yep.
Shelly almost
Let's
had
turn
like, the eye roll there.
Let's turn the page on this.
Yes, we turned the page on that. No, well, I had the eye roll because we're going to be short on the boozy news.
That's okay.
Oh, well.
We have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
That's true. A Florida man, Brian Hartman, was arrested by authorities for cultivating marijuana in his front yard.
Yeah.
Undercover.
Way to be secretive.
Yeah.
The 17 plants, some as tall as 7 feet, could be seen from the freeway.
And how long did it... Wait, they're 7 feet tall, so when they were 6 feet tall, the police didn't see them?
That's what I'm wondering.
That's why you put them in the front yard. They'll never look there.
Well, it's Florida.
Well, you know what I was wondering, too?
Okay.
There must not be any dope smokers that live near him, because let me tell you, if my neighbor's got 6-foot plants in his front yard...
Those are fragrant, man.
Yeah, they're gone.
Well, I'm wondering, 6 foot? Heck, 4 feet. I mean, at one point, cops... Sort of wander. They had to have noticed them.
The time you dig those up is at about 2.5, 3 feet, where they're still pretty good size, but you could uproot them, put them in a bucket, and take them to your house and replant them.
And thank you for giving everybody instructions.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, rip off your neighbor.
They got their money's worth of cultivation before the police finally showed up and took those.
Yeah. Although, you know, you're probably waiting for it. You know, that guy's luck. They're just starting to bud. He's like, awesome. Comes out the next day, and they're all, you know what?
What?
I used to throw, my brother and I used to smoke weed in my parents' backyard, and we would drive my car around the back, and we'd roll it up. There's any seeds, we'd throw them out the window.
Yeah.
So I come back at Christmas break one time, and there's about 40 plants that are all about a foot tall all over the place.
Did you uproot them?
I dig one up. I put it in a nice
pot.
Container. And
you
then
put the pot in a pot.
I'm showing my mom, and I don't tell her what it is, but my mom thinks it's a beautiful plant. She goes, oh, what a pretty plant. I said, could you put this out in the solarium and keep it alive for me till I get back at spring break? And she goes, yeah. So she does, and it's growing nicely. And I said, okay, I'll be back at summer break. And I come back, and it's gone. And I said, where's my plant? And my dad says, I threw it away. And I went directly out to the trash area because he threw it away the day before I got there. And I took it and I hung it upside down in my garage.
Ah.
Sweet.
How was it?
It was only leaf, so it wasn't much. Yeah, it was not good.
Dad pulled all the buds first.
You know, my dad used to be so... We didn't mow the backyard that much. I should have just left the plants growing in the backyard.
Yeah.
At least it would be the backyard.
Not the front yard, yeah.
You know, we need a sound effect every time you do a story on Florida. Like, we go like, Florida!
Okay, well, we'll just do that next time. I'll say, and in Florida. And
Florida!
Then you can, there you go. We've got, you're a Foley artist. You know, this is what you
Florida!
Do.
Florida!
Okay.
Just push Bruce's button.
Florida!
I do that on a daily basis.
Hanging chads.
And that's the end of the boozy news.
I told you we'd use up that extra
extra
space. Our mixing board thing is vibrating, I'm noticing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
It's time for a commercial break.
Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Casa de las Amigas.
Whoosh.
That's awesome. Good commercial, Shelly.
Thank you.
Did you write that?
No, I did not write that.
Oh. Good commercial, Casa. So do we have a... We had a topic.
We have a topic.
Was trust...
Trust in the fellowship.
Now, give the listeners de jure.
Not in the program. In
so
the
these
fellowship.
These aren't people that are trusting that the program is going to
no,
work.
No, this is people who are trusting the people in
other
the program.
Other people in the program.
Yeah, the other dope fiends and alcoholics.
Yeah.
And you said you had an interesting story to lead off with on this.
I do. When Shelley was on vacation, one of our friend's daughters who had been going in and out of the program was like living on the street. And I said, well, what I had said is, I would let them stay for one night. And then I thought, after I had told them that, I was going to have them go in our son's room. And it occurred to me, I needed to get anything out of the son's room that could possibly be taken. I took every PlayStation game. I took the PlayStation machine. I took everything out of his room. And they didn't show up anyway, so the next day I had to go put everything back in his room. Shelly's looking at me like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I haven't heard this story.
No, he said it was going to be a surprise for you.
Oh.
You weren't here.
He was saving it for
well,
the
show.
Well,
and I told our friend Sarah had said, you think that's a good idea? And I told Sarah at
no.
coffee, I don't think there's any way this person's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really worried about it. But I did think I need to remove anything of value from the room. And our room was overloaded with games and gaming supplies and this and that. Matter of fact, it was funny because the next day our son came over, went into his room. He says, "Where's all my stuff?" Oh, yeah.
So it didn't occur to you that perhaps this person might have gone from our son's room to our room and taken things? I mean,
not with me there, I don't think. I got swords on the wall.
You have swords?
Well, when you're not here, I have swords, yes.
They're my swords.
Yeah? Okay, we have swords.
Who's we? They're mine. They're all mine.
You can tell I love Shelly because I gave her bladed weapons.
Yes, for Christmas and birthday.
She got a two-handed claymore.
It's mine. All mine.
Yes.
Two-handed claymore
mine,
on the wall.
Mine.
What's your trust story, Mark?
Oh. I just brought up the topic as far as... just at what level do you come into a program and you grab onto it with both hands for dear life, and you meet people in the program that just seem like good people?
Well, in most cases, they are.
They're dope fiends.
Well, yes.
They're liars and deceivers.
No. You make it sound like we're... dope fiends.
Yeah. You know, at what point, I mean, you know, I'm somewhat comfortable with the majority of the people who have double digit sobriety. Not all of them.
Oh, so you're not comfortable with me. I get it.
You know what?
Keep coming back.
What I would say, along with what Mark's saying, to me, if someone's got a few years, I'm probably pretty comfortable with them. But it comes down to like sponsees and other people's sponsees and things and people that are relatively new. Yeah. I gave a guy a ride home from a meeting last night. This is absolutely true. I gave a guy a ride home from a meeting last night. And when I stopped to get a cigar, I had him go in with me. Not that there's even a lot of stuff in my truck, but just in case.
Who had the seventh tradition?
Michael.
Okay, so it wasn't in your truck.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. No. I mean, we've seen that experience.
Oh, yeah.
CA back in the day. Man, we had treasures with 45 days. If you got $30 in a treasury, they were gone.
Bye.
All right, how about you, Shelley?
Well, I'm mostly worried, actually, about emotional trust.
Oh, a side because I hadn't even struck upon.
I have heard, you know, when I first came around, you're an emotional wreck anyway. So any gossip that comes down the pike, who's gone out, who's doing who, who's all of that stuff.
Who's on who at the 502 Club?
Yeah, all of that stuff sort of percolates in your mind. And when I hit about a year and a half or whatever, my sponsor and I made an agreement that we were not going to engage in the gossip anymore because it was detrimental to our sobriety in more ways than one, because every time you pass along a story, you're abusing the trust of someone else.
Yeah.
And we decided that we were going to do what Sister B says. You know, if you're talking about someone, you have to put it up against, you know, is it kind, is it necessary, and is it true?
What if it's that someone went out?
It depends on why you're talking about it. Are you just talking about it like, ooh, guess who went out? Or are you discussing it with someone else to try to determine if you can help?
What if someone says, hey, what happened to Joe? And you say, oh, he went out.
That's just information. That's not necessarily gossip. It depends on the manner in which it's delivered. But it's not just the gossip aspect of it. It's like, what if you tell someone in the program something that's really been weighing on you, some secret or something? How can you trust that person isn't going to go and spread it all over the place?
You can't.
Right, but how do you even...
You shouldn't.
Which is why most of the stuff that I talk about with my sponsor alone.
Because your sponsor was your choice to trust them.
Yes.
Right, and I absolutely know I can trust my sponsor never to tell anyone any of the secrets that I've told her, because she doesn't remember anything I say 5 minutes after I say it.
Perfect.
What did it,
great.
What did you used to say at the Monday night meeting? What was the thing where you talk about what was said in the meeting?
What you hear here, who you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
And sometimes that ended up at coffee instead of staying in the meeting. But every time that you do that, every time that you talk about somebody behind their back in a gossipy kind of way, you're abusing someone's trust.
Well, and that's a section of trustworthiness I hadn't really thought of when Mark brought this topic.
No, conversations at coffee are fair game.
Well,
yeah, right.
I think so.
But when you're talking about what people say in meetings, mm-hmm. I mean, I may repeat something somebody says in a meeting as long as the other people that I'm around weren't there and I don't identify the speaker.
And what if the people that are around were all at the meeting?
Then I don't need to talk about it because they already heard it.
No, but I mean, what if you want to discuss it? Did you hear what he said? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I have discussed stuff like that with...
You gossip, you.
Yeah, that's true. I have discussed stuff that people have said at meetings with other people that were at that meeting.
You gossip monger.
Now I have to rethink when I'm not going to be able to say anything.
Here's the other thing, Bruce. 20 years plus, almost 21 years.
Close. By the time this show goes up, it's going to be really close.
How many 20 buckses have you never gotten back from a newcomer that you've loaned 20 bucks to?
I don't know if I've gotten any of them back.
Probably several $1,000 worth.
I don't know if I've ever got. Well, you know what? And that goes to the I got another one. But that goes to the thing of, you know, don't loan it unless you can afford to give it kind of thing. Because I'll tell you what. In my business, I have given deals and things many times to people in the program. I have a bed that I gave to someone recently where they're already late on paying me even the first payment back. I mean, they gave me a deposit. They've already got the bed.
Yeah, I delivered that. I delivered that bed for you.
Any more payments on that?
Yep.
And I'm trying to be cool and like not call them, but I'm about to call them and say, hey, you know, I let you take this bed, but I, you know, and this person's got like 7 or 8 years or something.
Yeah, she's
on
got
me.
Some time.
Huh?
She's got some time.
Yeah, she's got some time, but she needs to pay me. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah. And you know what? And my good buddy James has always told me, you ever notice how you only get screwed in business? Like my business, whenever I do something for someone in the program, they're always the one that pay late or don't pay or something like that happens. They're the only ones.
Yeah.
And I did it with a customer where I let them take the bed
and
I gave them the money. Matter of fact, one of my daughter's friends, they came back exactly when they said and paid exactly what they said they were going to pay.
Yeah.
But not so much with the program people.
Yeah, program people, not only do you not get paid, but you gave them a really killer deal to start with.
Yes, I did. Yes. Yes, I did.
Well, on the bright side, then, it's less that they'll never pay you back.
Thanks. Thanks, Shelly.
Well, makes you feel better, doesn't it?
That's it. From now on, people from the program pay triple.
That'll be more they won't pay you back.
No, but they won't get any credit. That's it. That's it. Although, at the same time, I've had people from the program... that were new, and here's the weird thing. I've had people that were new. They're like, dude, I'll take any kind of bed you got, you know, and I'll buy it off you. Where I've had guys that are like, do you got anything you hauled away from someone's house that's halfway decent? And I'm like, dude, anything I've hauled away from someone's house, you're more than welcome to have. And then these guys are like, dude, I would do work around your store or something to pay it. And I'm like, you don't have to pay it because I didn't pay for it. You can have it. And they want to do stuff. So sometimes it's weird. It's almost like those people with the new rush of recovery where they're like on that pink cloud where they're like, hey, I'm living a good life and everything's good. They try and do everything really good for about a month.
Yeah.
Then it goes a little sideways.
Wow. You know, and I've got no problem with you go to coffee afterwards, you buy them coffee, or you go have a meal, you buy them a meal. I have no problem with that.
How many coffees do you think you've bought people over the years?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots.
Zillions. I've bought my fair share of coffees.
Lots.
I still do on occasion.
The other thing from Columbia that I fronted out, coffee.
Yeah, the second thing. Yeah, you know, we're like front. You know, some things never change. I still front sometimes.
Yeah.
just when I shouldn't.
Yeah, but, you know, it's hard because you see people come in and they're really fired up and, you know, and the coffee thing, that's, you know, you want newcomers to come to coffee after the meeting. They've got no money.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that.
I've done it many times. A good example is our good little buddy Warren, who has gotten sober recently and has, you know, a couple of weeks sober.
I thought he had 4 years.
I was gonna buy him coffee at coffee the other night, and he's like, No. Don't buy me coffee. It's cool. He goes, I get a water. Because I don't, you know, he goes, I'm not here to get a free ride. And I'm like, all right. And the next time I said, let me buy you a cup of coffee. And he let me buy him a cup of coffee. But.
Yeah.
So, Shelley. What do you think?
Well, I think that to paint all newcomers with the same brush is an error. I think we're casting aspersions in a pretty wide net over everybody who's new. Now, granted, I've only been around 4 years, and I haven't seen all of the miscreants come through that you guys have.
Miscreants.
Clearly.
But at the same time...
It's not like there's been a passing parade or anything. I've only seen, like, maybe 4 or 5 people come in the program since I got sober.
At the same time, I've seen some people with, you know, not much time do things like come and paint our house for us.
Yes.
And give rides to other newcomers. You know, we saw a couple of newcomers pull another newcomer out of a bar.
We have seen a lot of stuff like that. But and you know what? Maybe it's just like with the amount of people that get sober, period. It's like, you know what? There's people that do it right, and there's people that don't do it right. And the challenge is to figure out who is who.
I had a friend of mine in the program when I first came in that I hung out with a lot. It was very instrumental in my sobriety. And he used to talk about that after people got sober, they would come into his store because he owned a pawn shop.
Oh, boy.
He says, Yikes. You know what? I had no problem loaning them $50. He could well afford it. He says, because the cool thing about it is they either come pay you back or for $50, they'll never come around again. He says, for $10? He says, they'll borrow $10. They'll come around again. They'll borrow another $10. They'll pay you back 10, then they'll borrow 20, and then he goes, $50, you know what?
You'll never see them again.
They're either going to come pay you, or you'll never see them again. He goes, so I figure I'd get off cheap.
He's like, the $50 is worth it.
Yeah.
Wow. So. That brings us to the end of a rousing recovery
packed
edition of Recovery 101, Recovery Rule 62. Shelley?
What? Push Bruce's button.
Yeah, push my button. Florida! Florida! Wow.
Yeah.
That maxes out the board when I do that. Florida! People, yeah, no, there's going to be people going to write email going, dude, that was freaking annoying.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be Fran's ringtone.
I'm going to be writing you saying, dude, that was freaking annoying.
You know what? It will be Fran's ringtone. Florida! 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 I'm shocked.
I'm odd.
I'm annoyed.
Perfect. Shelley?
Yes?
Who are our friends back east?
That would
if
be...
If we have any left.
We have Bruce.
The Recovery Guy of the Month, the other white meat.
A friend in need.
At 12stepgazette.com. That's the number. That's the number 12gazette.com. Step Gazette.
Wow.
12stepgazette.com.
Yes, I did actually say that at the beginning.
Yes.
Anyway, he runs a fine... I can't talk anymore.
Publication.
Yes, a fine publication. You can go and read it online or have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post.
Subscription, prescription.
That's right. And he will, Mark, what will he do with it if you...
He'll strap it on the back of a donkey, point it in your direction, and slap it on the ass. It'll get there eventually.
It'll be there by Christmas.
It'll
be a gift. Do we have any friends online?
No.
not after the last show.
Yeah, boy, they
not after the Allstate show.
You know, the Allstate show is always like an example we can hold up as to the fact that no matter how bad the show was when we finished it.
It could get worse.
It got worse at one point. Thank you, by the way, to all of you who have stuck with us since that show.
I'm very
happy with both of you.
All three of you, yeah.
So, intherooms.com.
.com.
You can go up on that site. You can go and join groups in the A of your choice. You can listen to speaker tapes. You can go and tune into our embedded player and listen to the show while you search around the site. Have fun.
I didn't go there. I didn't go there with the inbred player. I have, you know what's weird?
Sorry,
I have three speaker tapes up at that site.
Yeah.
And I only knew of two of them.
And people, like, aren't amazed?
Well, no, I heard the other one, and I've never heard it before.
But you must have said it.
Clearly I said it, but I don't know where it came from. So it came from somewhere else. Somebody else put it up or something, because I've never heard it. I heard, you know, I had to be all narcissistic and listen to it.
This is a guy who a show ago had a whole conversation about what the topic was going to be about and then asked if we had pulled up any information on it.
Yeah, well,
after it was all explained to him what Shelley had pulled up.
I have a memory like a steel trap.
With a faulty hinge.
Door.
the 12-step Music Fest at 12stepmusicfest.com.
.com.
That's coming up at the beginning of November, which is soon. Artie Kornfeld, the creator of Woodstock, is going to be there. Mark Lundholm, addiction comedian, is going to be there. Chuck Negron from
Three Dog Night
is going to be there. And Don Wilder will be performing. There's going to be all kinds of there's like a couple of different stages, like the main stage and the side stages. It's going to be a fun thing. It's at a Coa campground. Go check it out at 12stepmusicfest.com. I almost did it.
Send us some topics, folks. Come on.
You know what?
What?
Where would they send those topics to, Shelley?
Recovery101radio@gmail.com, recovery101radio@hotmail.com, and recovery_101@hotmail.com.
You could also send it to us on Facebook. If you look up Recovery 101, you'll find our group. Yes, we have a fan page. It's Recovery 101, don't we?
No.
Okay.
Then don't go there.
You can look up Shelley Burnett.
Yes, that's who it's under.
You could look up Bruce Burnett.
Don't look up me.
Yeah, Mark's not there. And you can score it that way as well. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
I get enough hate mail without having our non-medicated listeners have another place to reach me.
Sweet. Mark.
Yes.
Who's the lead out music by?
Oh, let's see. What should I do to Shelley today?
Oh, man.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there we go. Everyone, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.